of me when you are all alone.
Welcome to One Up Games Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Fallout, a post-nuclear role-playing game, and its sequel, Fallout 2.
In Fallout, you play as the Vault Dweller, forced out of your vault after your vault's water chip breaks. You have 150 days to obtain a water chip from the wasteland before your vault runs out of fresh water.
I'd like to mention something weird.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a random encounter in Fallout 2 where it's like a time portal. I think it's a reference to
Star Trek.
Yeah. And you go back to the vault and then you can sabotage the water supply. So the character from Fallout 2 sabotaged the water supply from Fallout 1.
I think that's just supposed to be an Easter egg.
Yeah, it might just be an Easter egg. Anyway.
It's just like Among Us.
Anyway, I just wanted to reference that.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about that.
Okay, anyway, Hunter, tell us more facts, or Ben, I don't know.
Okay, in Fallout 1. Fallout.
Yes.
Fallout, a post-nuclear role-playing game, is an open-world turn-based RPG developed and published by Interplay in 1997.
I'd also like to mention that the game isn't like Fallout 3, New Vegas, or 4. It is
bad.
Oh yeah, because it's an RPG. Definitely. The other ones are
This is a turn-based RPG. Those ones are first-person shooters.
Yeah.
Oh, if we're judging them on turn-based RPGs, I know that Fallout Brotherhood of Steel can be a real-time battle simulator, but it can also be a turn-based RPG if you want it to be.
Well, I suppose if we're talking about the first two Fallout games, we should talk about Wasteland a little bit.
The Wasteland is the death. Go.
In 1988, Interplay was making a RPG called Wasteland, and it was actually a really advanced game for the time. It was one of the first games where you could, like, instead of, you leave an area and it just resets, like most games of that time. Like, you could leave, and then you could come back, and all the stuff that you did earlier was changed. So, I think they lost the copyright to Wasteland or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But then they made, they came out with Fallout, which is meant to be kind of a spiritual successor. And also the original Fallout was originally supposed to use the GURPS system. And they actually had like a giant story written out that involved time travel, dinosaurs, and aliens.
What? Yeah, but then like Steve Jackson game was like, no.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, because the reason why they canceled it is because the first Fallout has gore. And to be completely honest, it's not really that much, but it's enough to say to tell GURPS that they don't want to work on this project.
You can even murder children.
That's in Fallout, the main protagonist, I mean the main villain, I guess you'd say.
That would be the master.
Dude, I really like the master.
I just want to talk about how you could kill him with science.
No.
No, you can't. You could kill him with science because you tell him.
No. You prove to him that super mutants are sterile and he kills himself.
Yes, because that's science. You tell him because you're smart. your big brain, and then you tell
them. Well, no, it's not that. You have to, like, collect a bunch of information throughout the game to, like, get facts and evidence that super mutants are sterile, and he gets all depressed and stuff and kills himself. Okay, go, Ethan.
I like the man.
Wow.
The entire concept of him. This is backstory. I just like him.
Yeah. They have this game has an action point system, so each turn multiple actions can be performed by each character until all points in their pool have been expended. And then, like, if you have melee, you can, like, if you're carrying a knife, you can choose, like, swing, like, thrust as different actions you can do with it, which have different things. After they quit GURPS, they had to create the special system, which is pretty iconic. Strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck.
If it weren't for special, we wouldn't have gotten perks, and we wouldn't have gotten to max charisma at level 6.
We wouldn't have gotten out of that.
Also, dog. Also, the first instance of dog meat is in this game, and he's in Junktown.
Is there unique armor?
He's in Junktown.
Well,
and the player can recruit him by either wearing a leather jacket or feeding him an iguana on a stick, which is like weirdly specific.
The owner was wearing a leather jacket. And I guess the dog thinks you're its owner.
Right, and then, wait, but which one has the, is it Fallout 3 that has the guy who has the sawed-off shotgun with no ammo? Or no, that's Fallout 2, which is like a direct reference to Mad Max.
Hmm.
What's sawed-off shotgun?
I don't know, some guy.
Also, Ben, how did you know that Star Trek reference?
Because Ben watched
YouTube
videos.
Well, that YouTube and I watched Star Trek.
Yeah. So in this game, when you go up to people and you talk to them, it like zooms in on a close up of their face. And for the faces, they actually used clay models of the faces. And then they just digitized the clay models.
Oh, that's cool.
Is it the same thing with Doom? That's why, like, the things that, like, in the original Doom.
Oh, yeah,
that's why all of, like, the...
I was gonna say, yeah, they did that for
Doom. All of the shotgun corpses, like, look, like, weirdly realistic. Is because they're just digitized versions of clay models.
They're actually kind of weird looking.
Yeah. So, and then... In this game, you can play as a set character, or you can choose Albert Pohl, a negotiator and charismatic leader whose background is in the legal system. There's somebody called Natalia Dabrowski, a talented acrobat and intelligent and resourceful granddaughter of a Russian diplomat in the Soviet consulate in Los Angeles. Or you can play as Max Stone, the largest person in the vault, known for his strength and stamina, but lacking intelligence.
But by the time you come back from the post-nuclear apocalypse, he's a genius. But then he gets executed from the vault.
Yeah. Executed from the vault.
Yeah, at the end of the game, you get executed from the vault because you have the audacity to change.
Expelled, I think, is the word you're trying to say.
No, you can execute someone from a vault. But yeah, expel, execute.
And do you know what execute means?
To kill.
It's more evict than expel.
Yeah.
No, it's to be banished.
Yeah, you get banished from the vault.
Have you guys seen...
No, what was the... Hey, Hunter, what was the vault you're in? What is its thing?
Vault 13.
Yeah, what's it?
I don't know, but
I think
it's either unspecified or I think it's the water system was actually meant to fail. I'm maybe making that up. Very professional. Uh, Within the Vault experiment, the purpose of Vault 13 was to remain closed for 200 years as a study of prolonged isolation. And that's just it. So it's like...
Isn't that what Vault
101.
Fallout 3 is about?
101. Well? Not really, because Vault 101 is supposed to stay closed forever.
Oh.
Hmm.
If you guys have seen any XCOM games, this game is heavily inspired by those. And, Tim Kaine, the guy who developed this game, he said that, that everybody on the team loved XCOM. Yeah, that happened.
Hmm.
Kane worked with fellow employees at Interplay in their spare time starting in 1994. He built the engine alone in 6 months, given no money and no resources, only time. Later, Kane assembled a team of 30 people to work on the game for the next 3 years. The game was nearly canceled after Interplay acquired the licenses to Forgotten Realms in the Planescape, Dungeons & Dragons franchises. But Kane convinced Interplay to let him finish the work on his project. Later, after the success of Diablo, Kane successfully resisted the pressure to convert the game into multiplayer and real-time based.
I know this isn't really about Fallout and stuff, but them being bought by Bethesda, who also got bought by Microsoft.
Fallout got bought by Bethesda, not necessarily Interplay.
Oh.
Interplay went bankrupt.
Oh yeah, they did. Anyway, no, that reminds me of how, did you know that Microsoft wanted to buy Nintendo, and in that meeting, Nintendo just laughed at their face for an hour.
Yep.
Yeah. I know this isn't Fallout related, but I just wanted to bring that up because
it's kind of funny.
He said the guy who worked with Microsoft said it was the most embarrassing meeting he's ever been to.
And they only offered, like, they might, I don't think they would be able to do it now, but, like, at the time they were only offering, like, $10 billion, which is a lot of money, but, like, compared to some of the other stuff, like, they just bought Discord for $10 billion.
I wonder what they're trying to do with all these purchases.
Create a monopoly.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
One of the first available armors is a one-sleeved leather jacket that resembles the jacket worn by Mel Gibson in The Road Warrior. The players can also get a dog named Dog Meat, but just like in Mad Max and A Boy and His Dog. Oh yeah, there's also a random encounter that's just a TARDIS from Doctor Who that just disappears.
Hmm.
And then there's also a crashed UFO containing a painting of Elvis Presley.
That was the first ever reference to aliens in Fallout, or Zetas as they're called.
Yeah, but Elvis Presley is confirmed to be an alien in the Fallout universe, which is kind of funny.
Is he?
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
well, like, there's a painting of Elvis Presley in a crashed UFO.
No, he was just an intergalactic singer.
He's popular on Saturn as well as Earth.
Hmm. Weird.
Although the time frame of Wasteland is completely different from Fallout, and despite the fact that the game's designers deny that the Fallout franchise takes place in the same universe as Wasteland, there is actually a lot of references to the events and style of Wasteland. The protagonist can meet an NPC named Tycho, who mentions that he is a desert ranger and under the right conditions will talk of his grandfather, who told him about Fat Freddy, a character from Las Vegas in Wasteland.
Hmm. Is there any what's the best side quest in that game, you'd say? Because I've never played it.
I don't really remember a lot of the side quests.
Dogmeat, you know how there's always a character named Dogmeat in
except Fallout 76?
Yeah. That's Rex.
Because if everybody anyway, had a Fallout, if everybody had a dog me in Fallout 76, that'd be a little crazy.
No. You know how there's always a dog named Dog Meat? That reminds me of how there's always a character in Final Fantasy named... What was his name?
I don't know. I'm not really a huge fan of Final Fantasy.
But Dog Meat reminds me of that because there's always a Dog Meat in Fallout games. Anyway.
Yeah, I like all the ones up until, like, they got... When they went 3D is when I stopped liking them.
Oh, yeah, isn't there multiple DLCs? I mean, is there any DLCs?
For Fallout? For the original?
For Fallout 1 and 2? No, I don't think so.
What about
endings? What endings are there?
I think there's only one
there's
ending.
There's the get turned into a super mutant ending.
There's one ending where, like, you get dipped in, like, a vat of nuclear stuff.
No, it's FEV, Forced Evolutionary Virus.
Which makes no sense because they said the Institute made it.
Yeah, and also the Forced Evolutionary Virus. Are there death claws in Fallout 1?
Yeah.
Yeah. The FEV is the reason why death claws are the way they are. They were originally just chameleons.
I thought the FEV virus was made by the Institute.
No, it wasn't. It was made by, like, the U.S. government or something to bring super mutants to the front lines.
Oh, yeah, and Deathclaws, that's also one of their original purposes, was fighting in the military.
Yeah, good luck trying to tame one of those things. Oh, do they?
Oh boy! Well, I mean, they do in Brotherhood of Steel.
Also, for some reason, I used to think that this was called the Forest, not the Forced Evolutionary Virus.
The Forest Evolutionary Virus.
Yes. I thought it was, like, named after, like, somebody, kind of like Forrest Gump or something. FEV was synthesized and used by Weston Lesko in the Capital Wasteland around 2277 in an attempt to return giant ants to their normal size through genetic manipulation. And then there's, like, the ending where you're successful, and then you just get excluded from the vault. Not really. But it exists. I like this game a lot, because the characters that you recruit to be on your team, they don't just do whatever you tell them to. They all have, like, their own unique, they'll do whatever they want to do, like, they all have unique personalities.
Yeah. Although I'm happy that, like, it's immersive that they can die, I'll forget immersion to save Dog Meat. I hate it when dog meat dies in the
I don't
games.
Like it when dogs die, period. That's where I have a part.
So I'm happy that they made it so he couldn't die in Fallout 4.
Yep. And Fallout 76.
He doesn't exist.
I feel bad for Dog Meat because he never got to see the. Well, maybe it's a good thing he never got to see Fallout 76. He might be a little traumatized.
Well, I mean, late, kind of modern Fallout 76.
Modern 76? He might like it.
Okay, so recap.
Should we move
you
on
are
to
the son of the Vault Dweller. And some other girl that he met in JD Sands. You are.
That should tell you something.
You are the chosen one. Your father is gone or dead. I forgot.
And your voice is right. Your voice is painful to listen to. And you
do that.
Well, I thought you said he's God.
Your father is.
Your father
is actually God.
I thought he said your father is God.
A 13.
You're not in a vault.
A 13.
Hmm.
Wait.
Which
since your dad was executed, was banished from the vault, he started a new life in Shady Sands, and...
Oh. Wait.
Yeah, the vault
blower
is the father
dad,
of...
The guy from Fallout 2.
Fallout 1.
No, the chosen one. That's the guy from Fallout 2.
We should probably tell everybody that when Ben started talking about the quote chosen one, that's when he was talking about Fallout 2.
That's what he's called. Thank you.
I know, but like a lot of people probably wouldn't know that, and there wasn't really a transition from Fallout 1 to Fallout 2. We can move on to Fallout 3.
You said we should.
Right.
Yeah.
So Fallout 2, the game story takes place in 2241, 80 years after the events of Fallout and 164 years after the war. It tells the story of the original hero, or like the Vault Dweller's descendants, and their quest to save their primitive tribe from starvation by finding an environmental restoration machine known as the Garden of Eden Creation Kit, or the GEC. Doesn't the GEC just create new
along the...
Is that just...
No, it... was specially created to destroy, like, every atoms in a all the atoms in a certain mile radius and recreate them as, like, life before the war. That's what the Garden of Eden creation kit was. So, and you can see the effects of this in Fallout 76 when a GEC is ruptured and... When a GEC is ruptured and, like, all the area around the vault is kind of, like, filled with fauna, but a lot more trees and stuff. Trees, life.
Something important to say is that this game is the debut game of Dick Richardson, the President of the United States. And if you think about his name, it's kind of funny, because... His name is Richardson.
Ah.
That's comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And also the dwellers of Vault 13 as part of the story were captured to be used as
guess if they were on.
Test subjects for the FEV.
Yeah, hold on. Ethan is trying to talk.
Harold. Do you guys not know Harold?
Oh, Harold! Yeah!
Harold is funny.
The funny tree guy, yeah.
Harold, the guy with the tree.
He actually shows up in Brotherhood of Steel.
Also, do you guys, in Fallout 3, I know this isn't Fallout 2, but when he tells you to kill him, do you do that?
Well, I mean... It's the morally good choice to leave him alive because he realizes how nice it is to be alive.
If you feel like it.
I do it.
But yeah, you can kill him.
Well,
Harold is one of the best characters.
I don't know. I feel like he...
I mean, yeah, he doesn't really enjoy his life.
You should do what he wants. Because...
He's in, like, permanent pain for,
his
entire life.
I guess it depends on the situation, but if I was alone in the wasteland, I had no family or relatives, and I was in extreme pain all the time, I would probably want to
Wait,
be
what?
Too.
Yeah, no, but you he's can, like, so talk him into being happy he's alive and stuff.
I mean, there's also the third choice where you just can set him aflame with a flamer. That's always the choice. It's a funny choice because you wouldn't expect it to actually work. also very, very traumatizing. Mostly because you wouldn't hear it. You wouldn't expect to hear a tree screaming.
Yeah, especially when how he screams.
He's such a good character.
It's kind of horrible.
He's so unimportant in the first two games, but in the third one, he's really important.
Yeah. So, they wanted to make a Fallout 2, Interplay didn't really want to or something like that. Like, a subsection called Black Isle of it. They came together and made it.
All I know is speech checks. Ever since the Great War, ever since the 100 charisma, speech checks have done. Yeah.
Name some of them off.
Well, I'm looking at the references page on the Fallout Wiki, and it goes all the way down to 114 references.
I don't know if this is...
It has references to stuff like The Simpsons and South Park.
That'll be the rest of the episode.
Huh. Oh, what? You...
Okay.
What?
Let's do it.
You
It'll
like...
be funny.
Great. I'm gonna read off some of the... that people might understand.
What is Ben doing? Smelling?
If the player character becomes a slaver, sometimes the victims will yell, "Run for it, Marty."
Which is a reference to.
That was.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, I just mean, like, you should probably address what the reference is just in case the people that are watching don't understand the reference.
You don't understand, then you're a big dumb, dumb head.
I'm just saying. Of course I understand that reference. I'm a huge Back to the Future. Anyway, some other references.
I'm looking.
No, I don't know what...
Oh, what about aliens?
There's also a lot of fourth wall breaks in this game.
What about aliens?
Aliens, I don't know.
Because you know how there's always an alien reference? Is there any in this game?
It doesn't look like it does, Kaden. This is... I don't think this game has the war never spine in it.
Hmm.
It's still voiced by the same guy.
War never changes. After a nuclear bomb, war did change. That was...
Oh, it is in Fallout 2. I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, Hunter.
It's voiced by the same guy throughout the entire series. Because
that's Fallout's main like catchphrase.
Except for Fallout 4, we're completely spit on that.
It's still there. It's just different.
No, he mentions it.
In what?
At the beginning of the game and the end of the game.
In Fallout 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
At the beginning and the end of the game, he said war never changes, if I remember correctly.
Yes, which is the reference.
You know.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings.
Hey, do you always have a Pip-Boy in Fallout games?
Yes. I think from the first one, you get a,
Pip-Boy 2000.
You get a,
For the first two, you have a Pip-Boy 2000. In Fallout 3, you have a Pip-Boy 3000A. In Fallout New Vegas, you have Pip-Boy 3000A. And then in Fallout 4, you have the Pip-Boy 3000B. And in Fallout 76, you have the Pip-Boy 2000 once again.
No, that makes sense why you have the 2000, because New Vegas takes place, like, earlier before any of the actual games.
I like New Vegas.
New Vegas takes place just after, well, a few years after 3.
No, it takes place before 3. It takes place, like, I think it takes place in, like, 200 and... I mean, not...
No, it takes place... Yeah,
20...
It takes place in the 100. Year 200.
No, it takes... Hold on, let me check.
No, I don't think it's 200.
It takes place in the year 200.
Yeah, that's why it looked like it missed.
Was it?
Before time.
Graphics don't get better over time. That's not how it works in real life.
Yes, it does. In the 1940s, everything was black and white.
Okay, yeah, it takes place after Fallout 3, 2281.
Hmm. Didn't know that.
So.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. Is there anything else anyone...
Fallout 2.
...really talk about?
Fallout 2. So basically, you go to... Hold on, what's the starting thing of the game? I can't remember. Garden of Eden. So basically, like, your area around you is dying, so you need to go find a Garden of Eden creation kit. You, like, run around the wasteland, which leads you to Vault 13, which you find sentient Deathclaws, more sentient than before, where they can, like, talk and stuff. You go around there, but...
Yeah, they're very smart.
Yeah, you go around there, get the Gek. When you're ambushed by... When you're ambushed by the Enclave, if I remember correctly. And...
Oh, I know the Enclave. They're the people with the XO2 power.
Yeah. They go around... They basically take all the Deathclaws or kill them. No. You leave, and then you come back some other time, and all the Deathclaws are, like, dead except for one. He's like, oh, yeah. Not cool guy. He killed us all. So, like, you get this on a security feed. So you go there, save them, and along the way you find out that the original inhabitants of Vault 13 are also there. So you're like, oh hey, you're cool. Come on with us, and reunited after 80 years.
Yep.
Hold on, isn't there an ending to one of the Fallouts where the Enclave raids a vault and just like shoots up the place?
I'm pretty sure.
I forgot if that's Fallout 1 or Fallout 2.
The Enclave ideology.
The Enclave power armor looks really weird.
I like it.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
Hold on.
But it doesn't really look like a power armor.
I also like how in... I like how in 3 you can just
blow up... I really enjoy
like,
Enclave radio.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of sad that you never can actually side with the Enclave. I would want to see what that's like. And not kind of like in 3, how you get the option to just poison the water and screw everyone over. I'd want to see an ending where you actually like side with the Enclave, take Project Purity, cleanse the wasteland once and for all. That kind of stuff.
That seems... I would like it.
This game, everybody liked its, like, gameplay, and everybody thought it was a pretty good successor for Fallout, but there's actually a lot of bugs in this game, and there's not a lot of improvement over the...
Bugfesda. I mean, I know it wasn't Bethesda that made the game, but Bugfesda.
It's actually implied in Fallout Brotherhood of Steel or Fallout Tactics that the Chinese... I know this isn't canon, but, like, the Chinese had recovered and were gonna go again. Like, hey, America, let's go again. But then the Brotherhood, out of all people, were the ones to tell them no in Anchorage. Like, the Brotherhood.
Huh?
They were going to be cultists. They were about to be cultists, and they took you out. They were this close to being cultists. Like, you can't see my hand. Really close. But they're like war machines, and they took you out. Speaking of the Chinese and Fallout, I really like how their super high trained soldiers rivaled America, took Anchorage for a bit. But one vault dweller that's been never trained in their life comes into their bases and like, hi guys, say goodbye.
Also, we should probably say, to go along with our trend, Fallout 1 takes place in SoCal, South California, and Fallout 2 takes place in New California.
I like California.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. For the Enclave, is it technically racist if you hate everyone?
Depends.
You hate like them. The Enclave. Yeah. Are they technically racist?
Hey, but they hate Americans. But they hate Americans too.
Yeah. They just hate everyone for being irradiated.
Themselves are the only people they don't hate. If you don't live on their oil rig, you're not trustworthy by the Enclave's means.
Well, I mean, if you're not like a pure, not irradiated, you're not trustworthy.
So yeah,
I remember.
Well, are we wrapped up?
Hold on. I'm kind of mad that the Enclave isn't in 4, but it'd be completely breaking canon if it were.
Well, duh, that's why it's not in 4.
I know, but I'm mad about it, because the Enclave have had so much potential. Like, if you saw... have you guys heard of the Enclave Rising mod in Fallout 4?
Yes, no.
It's a really good mod that kind of implements the Enclave into it with its own story that kind of fits the campaign, but not really. Do you want me to explain it to you? So basically, you're playing the game as normal. That's just kind of how it goes at first. Playing the game as normal. When you get a distress beacon from Vault 111, it's kind of a utility place near it. So if you go to where the distress beacon marks on your map, it's a place near Sanctuary. Kind of close, but not really. And if you go in, fight all the gunners and raiders, I think they're raiders, you discover a bunch of people in cryo sleep. And if you awaken them, they are generals. Like generals of the war and stuff. Military people. And they're like, oh, hey, let's go to an oil rig. And you're like, yeah, that's cool. So basically, you go across the map to a hangar place to get a vertibird. And it's filled with gunners because they're gunners. They want to secure technology like that. Not the Brotherhood, because they weren't there. So once you get there and secure the place, I think you have to do a few skill checks to fix up the vertebrate, but I'm not too sure. So essentially, you just fix it up. And once you do that, you go to the oil rig, which is now infested with feral ghouls. And you fix it up. You do a few quests here and there, clearing out the place of ghouls. It's easily my least favorite quest in the mod. And then the rest of the Enclave shows up. Forget what happened.
Ben, you know a lot about this mod.
What?
You know a lot about this mod.
I would hope I would. I played it. Well, I don't know a lot. There's definitely a lot more to it.
Anyway, are we, like, wrapping up now?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, I think we should probably wrap up. Alright.
I don't know if this was informational, but it was something.
It was kind of just talking about the Fallout franchise overall.
Yeah, basically.
Well, I'm a huge fan of it.
I'm a huge fan of this one, but...
I think I like this one more, though. This has been the 1UP Games podcast. 1UP podcast, not 1UP Games. This has been the 1UP podcast.
Hey, 1UP Games, if you want to sponsor us, you can call
1UP
us. 1UP
Games, if you want to sponsor us, you know, you wouldn't even have to pay us. I would do it for free. All right, anyways. Yeah. This has been the 1UP podcast.
And remember, Ad Victorium, Brotherhood.
Any music used in this podcast is a copyright of either the Inkspots band or Bethesda Softworks. No copyright infringement is intended.